Welcome, Middle-earth Wanderer. This summer, I have ventured into the archives, like Gandalf in the libraries of Minas Tirith, to uncover a chapter from the lore of the Ring's past. Some stories deserve to be heard again, and others you may have missed the first time. So draw your cloak close, ready your pipeweed, and join me as today we revisit a treasured piece of Middle-earth lore.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.
Hello, Wanderers. Middle Earth has new music. The Rings of Power soundtrack is now available on Amazon Music and Spotify. Composed by Bear McCary, the 2.5 hours of new music gives us new themes for our favorite characters like Galadriel, Sauron, and Elrond, and of our favorite places like Khazad-dûm and Numenor. One of these songs has lyrics, and we have heard a few lines in the most recent trailer. This new song is called This Wandering Day. It's a two-minute tribute to wandering, to leaving behind the comforts of hearth and home, and exploring the unknown. I hope you've had the chance to listen to this song. If not, go listen to it and come back. Let's explore Tolkien's lore that these lyrics are rooted in. Welcome! In the Lord of the Rings podcast, we wander the world of J.R.R. Tolkien by exploring the foundational epic stories from the deep past of Middle-earth. If you enjoyed Tolkien's books, or maybe Peter Jackson's movies, or perhaps you're excited for Amazon Studios' new series, The Rings of Power, and you want to dive deeper into the rich world of Middle-earth, then listen and subscribe. Magavanyan, fellow wanderers! The first line says, quote, "The sun is fast fallen beneath trees of stone." Okay, sunsets in Middle-earth are important. The sun sets in the west, where the powers that govern the world, the Valar, live in Valinor, the Undying Lands. When Frodo and Sam are taken by the men of Gondor, they are blessed to see the sunset from what Faramir calls the Window of the Sunset, where the sun shines through a waterfall, and Tolkien writes, quote, "It was as if they stood at the window of some elven tower, curtained with threaded jewels of silver and gold, and ruby and sapphire and amethyst, all kindled with an unconsuming fire. Before the men eat, they, quote, turned and faced west in a moment of silence." Faramir explains that they do so to remember Numenor, the Elven Lands, and the Undying Lands in the west. So the Trees of Stone. This brings to my mind the conversation that Yavanna and Manwë had when Yavanna took thought to create the Ents and Manwë the Eagles. Yavanna glories that Manwë's eagles will roost in her trees, but Manwë says, quote, "Nay, only the trees of Aule will be tall enough. The trees of Aule are the stone mountains of the world, or, said another way, trees of stone." All around the Undying Lands were the tallest mountains of Aule, a huge mountain fence that was intended as a defense against Morgoth. When the Noldor leave Middle-earth, part of their journey takes them on the east side of these mountains. Although a discrepancy, the Noldor's journey was completely under stars, the sun had not yet been created. So, from this first line, the singer is somewhere east of a mountain range, with the sun setting in the west, evoking the memory of the Valar in their Undying Lands. The next line is, "The light in the tower, no longer my home." What tower in Middle-earth is known for a light, at least a welcoming light that used to be a comforting home? In Valinor, the elves built the city of Tirion, with its tall tower called Mindon Eldalieva. This tower was built in honor of Ingwe, who was one of the three ambassadors of the elves to see the light of the trees, and the leader of the Vanyar, the highest house of elves. In this tower was a great silver lamp. When the Noldor followed Feanor and left Valinor to return to Middle-earth, many of them looked back at their fair city, but no longer considered it home. In the Silmarillion, we get this line, quote, "At the rear went Finarfin and Finrod, and many of the noblest and wisest of the Noldor, and often they looked behind them to see their fair city, until the lamp of Mindon Eldalieva was lost in the night." The Noldor, because they followed Feanor, were banished from the Valar and lived in exile in Middle-earth, so their tower, with its silver light, was no longer their home. Then the line, quote, "Past eyes of pale fire, black sand for my bed." This is our first hint of timing. The Eyes of Pale Fire might refer again to the lamp in Mindon Eldalieva. When Morgoth and Ungoliant attack and kill the two trees of Valinor, and the light goes out, the only lights for the world were the stars and this lamp in the tower. However, a great fog arose in the valley around Tirion, and caused the silver light to give a pale gloom. The black sand evokes the image of the Noldor on the seashore as they leave Valinor, black because of the unending night after the death of the two trees. So again, these lines are reminding me of the Noldor leaving the Undying Lands. Then this key phrase, quote, "I trade all I've known for the unknown ahead." Going into the unknown is a major theme for fantasy literature, and Tolkien's Lord of the Rings is certainly no different. Remember Frodo's famous line, quote, "I will take the ring, though I do not know the way?" Bilbo's poem, "The Road Goes Ever On," is a tribute to the serendipity and surprise that comes from wandering into the unknown. Now this line reminds me specifically of Galadriel. I don't know, maybe she's on my mind because I just did a 15-minute episode on her, but her primary motivations for leaving Valinor were to rule a land of her own, and because she felt she had learned all that she could in Valinor. She was willing to trade that knowledge to go into the unknown, and see what the wild outside world would provide for her. I see more evidence of Galadriel as the point of view for the singer, but like all things Galadriel, that's not without complications. Now we have the first iteration of a chorus, quote, call to me, lands far away, for I must now wander this wandering day, away I must wander this wandering day. This feels to me almost like a prayer to the lands far away. Given the imagery we saw in the first lines, I don't think this is a prayer literally to the physical land far away, but rather a plea to those powers that govern a land far away, the Valar in Valinor. We know that The Lord of the Rings was fundamentally a religious work, and so a prayer to a higher power is certainly fitting. But we also see a tension. The singer has no choice but to wander. She must wander into the unknown. Something else is calling her, something unknown, perhaps something that evokes fear or apprehension. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
Amber's drawings might be...
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.
Imagine wrapping yourself or your little one in the legends of Middle-earth. Osha Sling's Middle-earth collection weaves the magic of Tolkien's world into your everyday life with beautifully crafted baby wraps, blankets, and accessories. Each piece is ethically handmade in Scotland, featuring designs inspired by The Lord of the Rings and Middle-earth. It's like carrying a little piece of elven craft or dwarvish handiwork into your modern life. They sent me their Ancients of Gondor casual throw blanket, and it is stunning. So much so that my wife, who's not a Tolkien fan, declared it front room worthy. That's about the highest praise a Middle-earth collectible can receive in our house. And they have so much more. Mugs, tea towels, tote bags, all of them beautiful. Whether you're a lifelong fan or just someone who appreciates fine, meaningful craftsmanship, Osha's Middle-earth collection has something for you. Visit oshaslings.com. That's oshaslings.com to explore the collection and bring a little Middle-earth magic to your home. Use my unique code LOTRPOD for 10% off new customers. That's LOTRPOD for 10% off at oshaslings.com. Link and code in the show notes for this episode. Then the second verse, the first line, quote, "Of drink I have little, and food I have less. My strength tells me no, but the path demands yes." This line I feel describes all the journeys of Middle-earth. The world is so big, the travelers so small, and so often ill-prepared. Who wakes up in the morning and decides to run out of his door to follow 13 dwarves to take on a dragon, and leaves without a handkerchief or hat, no less? What about running out of the Shire into the Old Forest? And Sam and Frodo and Mordor were so parched they were willing to drink poisoned water. No one in Middle-earth is well prepared to go into the wild, especially the Noldor as they leave the Undying Lands. They leave under exile, and then Feanor steals the ships and abandons most of the Noldor on the shores of the Undying Land. But they can't turn back. Not in their pride and desire for the unknown. No, the path demands that they go forward. Even if that means crossing the cruel ices of the North. Of that crossing we read in the Silmarillion, quote, "Few of the deeds of the Noldor thereafter surpassed that desperate crossing in hardihood or woe. Many perished. But they were led by Fingolfin, Finrod, and Galadriel through that icy terror into Middle-earth." The next line, quote, "My legs are so short, and the way is so long." So short legs in Middle-earth always make me think of hobbits. And in the prologue to The Fellowship of the Ring, we get this line, quote, "Their own records began only after the settlement of the Shire, and their most ancient legends hardly looked further back than their wandering days." Even in their wandering days, the hobbits were of three major clans, the Harfoots, Stoors, and Followhides. So, short legs wandering. Yeah, that makes me think of hobbits. However, hobbits didn't migrate west until the Third Age, and were not really heard of in the Second Age, which is the setting for Rings of Power. So, are they the singer of this song? And here also is the complication with my theory that Galadriel is the singer of the song. Her legs were not short. In many places, she is described as tall, even as tall as Celeborn. And then the line, quote, I've no rest nor comfort, no comfort but song. Wandering in the wild is not a comfortable journey. I remember that scene in Fellowship, where Sam and Frodo are sleeping in the Shire, and Sam can't get comfortable because everywhere he lies there's a tree root in his back. But there is a little comfort, the comfort of song. Every culture in Middle-earth sings. Elves, men, dwarves, even orcs and trolls. It was singing while on the road that attracted Frodo to the elves passing through the Shire. Music is in the nature of Middle-earth, so it's natural for song to be a comfort to the wanderer of Middle-earth. Music was how the world was created. Going back to the first paragraph of the Silmarillion, quote, Iluvatar spoke to the Ainur, propounding to them themes of music, and they sang before him, and he was glad. Then Iluvatar said to them, Of the theme that I have declared to you, I will now that ye make in harmony together a great music. But I will sit and hearken, and be glad that through you great beauty has been wakened into song. This again calls to mind the singing of the Ainur to create the world, and those Ainur who passed into it and became the Valar, who again dwell in the Undying Lands, which leads us to the second variation of the chorus, quote, sing to me, lands far away. O rise up and guide me this wandering day. Please promise to find me this wandering day. The chorus again evokes a prayerful or pleaful attitude, but instead of a call, the singer requests a song. The guidance desired is to come through singing. The singer is hopeful and trusting in the powers of the lands far away, that they can hear her, and that they will answer her, and answer her in singing, no less. This speaks to the hopeful and optimistic undertones all throughout Tolkien's works. Darkness may prevail for a time, even a long time. The shadow can be strong and powerful, and evoke all sorts of chaos, despair, and suffering. But it cannot win. Evil cannot win. In Tolkien's world, and I believe in ours, good will win. This theme is personified in Sam the Hobbit, and as he says in the Two Towers movie, quote, that there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for. The singer trusts in the promise of the Valar, the promise that they will find her, that even in all her wandering, she is not lost, which leads to the last verse. Quote, At last comes their answer, through cold and through frost, that not all who wonder or wander are lost. No matter the sorrow, no matter the cost, that not all who wonder or wander are lost. Lots to unpack here. First, the answer comes through cold and frost. A cold and frost that may be the cruel ices of the north, through which Galadriel and the Noldor return to Middle-earth. And yes, the singer may be wayward, wandering in exile, perhaps a little rebellious, wondering if she can find the light and the home that was lost, but in the end, they answer, she is not lost. This line comes directly from a verse that Gandalf wrote in a letter to Frodo so that he could identify Strider as Aragorn. This verse in part says, quote, All that is gold does not glitter, not all those who wander are lost. It's this verse that actually inspired me to wander Middle-earth, and to invite you to join me in this wandering. I've mentioned it several times, and even have it as the tagline at the end of my outro clip. In context of this song, this line evokes images of Aragorn, who was a descendant of great Numenorean kings, another race of men who had lost their home, and were forced to wander to Middle-earth, also under exile. They also wondered if they could return into the West, though the way for them was lost. And we see here a major theme from Tolkien, growth and happiness, even though it means passing through sorrow. The Vala of Sorrow, Nienna, continually sorrows for the hurts and suffering of Middle-earth, and, quote, she brings strength to the spirit and turns sorrow to wisdom. A prominent pupil of Nienna, who learned from her pity and patience, and who would later take pity on the sorrows of the children of Iluvatar, came to Middle-earth. This was Olorin, or as we like to call him, Gandalf. Gandalf represents the theme of passing through sorrow to find happiness, rest, and wisdom. In all our wanderings, we will suffer, we will sorrow, but that sorrow is what gives us wisdom. Not all who wander or wander are lost. Through sorrow comes wisdom. The draw of the unknown must be followed, even if we're not ready. But we're not lost. We're not forgotten. There are powers in this world, good powers, that call to us, sing to us, and find us, even in our wandering. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Amber's drawings might be...
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.